Today we're going to talk about grace. And the biggest thing in grace that I want to start to say is the prodigal son. The prodigal son left the inheritance. He went out. And then he realized, after he spent all the father's money, he realizes, my God, I'm not even living as well as the servants in my father's house. He says, I'm going back home. When he came back home, the father seen him coming up the driveway. I believe prophetically right now, some of your children are going to come back. Dad, that's right. I feel an unction in my spirit to say your children are going to come back. And I tell you, don't ask them where the inheritance is. Don't ask them what they did. Just accept them and love them. That's what they lacked from the beginning. They lacked the love that you needed to nurture them with. I don't want you to feel guilty, but I want you to understand that they went to look for love in all the wrong places. But I'm here to tell you, when they come back, understand to extend the grace of God. Rob?
Yeah, we want to bring language to the word grace, which is really God's riches about Christ's expense. And, you know, Vic really was one of the people that sort of instilled into my life, and he is a grace preacher. He's a grace man. And Vic, let's bring proper language to the word grace. And in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul simply says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. And, you know, it goes on to say that there were people that pervert the message of Christ. And, you know, we look at Paul's life, certainly he was one that understood the word and the message and the heart of God's heart, which is grace. And in verse 15 it says, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace. I mean, the reality is, people, how do you think God called you? He called you through his grace. It certainly wasn't because of do's and don'ts. Was it because of the law? You know, we grew up, most of us, in a religious system. Sit, kneel, stand. Sit, kneel, stand. We were popping wafers every week. And the reality is, even within the parameters of the Christian church, we're still popping wafers. And the reality is, we don't obtain righteousness because of what we do. We obtain righteousness because of who we are.
And you know where I came with this experience? And this is how God sowed grace into my heart, because I was a legalist for 20 some odd years, and I was very legalist and very judgmental. But then God came, and I started to see that I could never obtain the righteousness that people told me I had to obtain to. And I want to say this, some of them acted in front of us like they were doing it all right. But I told myself, I said, self, how can they do this all right? And I can't. And then God started to give me a little clue. He says, they're not doing it all right. They're just telling you they're doing it all right. He said, but son, don't even worry about them. Worry about accepting the grace of my spirit into your heart, because I don't require anything from you. I don't require anything but you saying, Jesus, come into my heart and make me right with you. And even the word right has a connotation, as we've heard it in the past, that we've got to do something right. But I tell you this, hear me, people. Paul said this. He said, who has bewitched you? You started out in the spirit. Now you're trying to work your salvation into the flesh. My God, Paul was so upset. Go back and read Galatians 3, the first verse there. It says, Paul says, wait a minute, what's going on? You guys started this walk in the spirit. Now you're trying to obtain it by what you do in your flesh. My God, people, understand that it's grace, it's grace, it's grace that sets a man free. That's why we've come to such a beautiful God, because when I didn't love him, he still loved me.
Yeah, you know, Vic, Jesus was the greatest grace preacher in the world. He personified grace. He oozed grace. It came out of Christ's beings. You know, they have this woman, they bring her right into the midst. And they say, Jesus, by every act, we, under Moses' law, we can stone her. And then it goes on to say they put their rocks away one by one because Jesus came in defense of this woman. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 21, it says, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. And you know, the message of grace has to be studied. We have to understand how to appropriate it. Then in chapter 5, verse 4, he says, you have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. And you know, Vic, this is a now word in this season, especially for this younger generation. You know, we'll get them in church, we'll dust them off, we'll make them become ushers, but we won't allow them to stay in the gifting, which is really to capture this generation and the language, which is going to shake and move this generation at its core.
That's right. And I want to tell you something. I've been observing the church from Montauk to Manhattan for many, many years. And I tell you, people, that many of you have been bitten by the venom of religiosity. Many of you, as I've spoken to, and I could hear the spirit of religion coming out from your mouth, and you don't even realize it. So I'm going to ask you, go to God. Say, God, is this message correct about grace? I'm telling you, for you to be a liberator, the first thing you have to do is accept grace. Because then when you go around liberating people, you'll know it's not by nothing that you have done. You see, if it was by something that I did to obtain this mercy from God, then I'd go around boasting, saying, you know, I did more than you. Oh, I've given more than you. But I tell you, at the cross, we are all equal. And it's His grace that separates each and every one of us from the religious law.
Yeah, Jesus calls to Lazarus. He says, Lazarus, come forth. And then there's grave clothes are still on this man. And I believe the grave clothes speaks of the traditions of men that need to fall off us. And, you know, Jesus is about setting people free, Vic. The reality is the gospel sets you free. But there's one thing about being set free. There's another thing about staying free. So in Romans chapter 10, verse 3, it says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and they're seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. And the first part about being ignorant of something, you know, there's not as much as a penalty, whereas it said they sought to establish their own righteousness, and then they haven't submitted to it. So there's a stubbornness, there was a stiff-neckedness, there was a hard-heartedness, where they started trusting in their own righteousness, their own works. And we've got to be careful, Vic, because that religious spirit is worse than carbon monoxide. You can't see carbon monoxide. You can't smell it. But there are certain detectors, carbon monoxide detectors, that detect when carbon monoxide's in the air. And carbon monoxide is a killer. Let me explain something to you. This religious spirit's a stranglehold spirit. It's subtle. It's crafty. It strangles the prophetic from coming forth. It kills the seer realm. And that's really what prophets do, Vic, is they're seers, they're prophetic people. And let me just come in defense, in a sense, of the prophetic office. You know, a prophet doesn't necessarily just prophesy or give prophetic words to people. They share what's called vision. Now, sometimes it can be vision within a local church. Sometimes it can be a regional vision. Sometimes it could be a national vision. I believe what Vic's done literally the last 5 years as he's been on radio and TV is he's sharing prophetic vision on Long Island from Montauk to Manhattan. That's really what the office of a prophet is. It's a seer where they can see the intention of heaven, bringing heaven to earth. Jesus says, on earth as it is in heaven, my will be done. So what Vic's doing is he wants to bring the intention of heaven to the earth, to Long Island, from Montauk to Manhattan. And believe me, I believe he's doing a great job of it. Amen? Come on, Vic, keep going. Take it from here.
Hey, I just want to say thank you, Rob, but I want to say this, that is one of the deficits that I do see in the body of Christ, and that's why it's so important that we understand God doesn't need our help. He needs our cooperation. He needs us to be in order. You know, I've been studying the book of Samuel, and I've been reading about Saul, and then I read about the kings, and I read about the Philistines, and then I read about David. And I want to tell you something that I've seen so clear through each page was the order of God in the house. Samuel had order. Saul had order. And when they got out of order, God ripped the kingdom out of Saul's hands. He ripped because he was out of order. Now David comes on the spot and he does exactly what God says. I remind you that Saul was supposed to go in and kill all the Amalekites and take all the livestock and slaughter it. But he comes back and keeps a little piece for himself. My God, people, God is looking for people right now that can follow an order, that could understand that it's by grace that we stand, but it's time to take from Montauk to Manhattan. We've got to understand who the generals are, who the buck privates are, who the privates are. We've got to understand, and I want to tell you, it doesn't come by the observation of a man's eye. It comes by the observation of a spiritual person that'll know. And I tell you, the church necessarily does not have a sin problem. I sometimes see it as having an order problem.
Yeah, Vic, we've got to stay pliable in this hour, and I'm thinking of Silly Putty, which was a little toy that you'd give your kids, but if you leave that Silly Putty outside of that egg, that little jar, it becomes hard. And what Vic was saying before is God gave the kingdom or the authority over to David, because the Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. So we have got to stay pliable in this hour. And you know, Vic, when spaghetti is uncooked, it breaks very easy. It's unflexible. But when it gets into hot water or within heat, it becomes pliable and flexible. So, you know, I look at Vic really as a spiritual chiropractor. He's a spiritual mechanic. You know, if your car's not running right, you bring it in for what's called a tune-up or an inspection or a checkup. So we have got to remain pliable in this hour, allow God to constantly fine-tune us and realign us.